SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back at the races, hour three, as we share memories and appreciation for John Asher. And one consistent message this morning, and not just this morning, but in the 24 hours now that it's been just about exactly 24 hours since word began to spread that John had been taken, that there's no one that is going to simply accept this and just we all will get to Churchill at whatever moment we do, whether it's next April or May or coming up for the fall meet or coming in for Breeders' Cup, and not expect to either hear the booming voice or see John come around a corner. It just unaccepting of this reality. And Tom Leach joins us, and speaking of booming voices and the resonant sound that a broadcast professional brings, Tom can certainly add the chorus of what what we came to hear in John. And Tom, I've started every conversation this morning kind of the same way, that this is a conversation none of us wanted to have, and it's a day that has come so early and too soon by every measurement.
There are people that pass that make you sad. We're sad that we lost John McCain, but there are other people, and the people in this pool are a lot more shallow, that make you cry. And I think John's passing made a lot of us cry yesterday.
Absolutely. And it was all that first myself and then Bob Baffert, who was on with me when I got the word, and I wasn't able to even just hold back, and then Marty McGee as well, and the outpouring of appreciation for John and what he meant in all the different areas, all the different kinds of lives that he touched. Your thoughts and your professional contact with John.
Oh, God. I've known him close to 40 years. He was doing play by play for a minor league basketball team in Louisville called the Louisville Catbirds. And John's 5 years older than I am. And a guy that I worked with had worked with John, and I was in college at the time. And he said, "Hey, I've got a friend that's doing play by play. You want him to critique a tape for you?" Well, that was John, and he sent my tape to John, and I've still got that critique somewhere in a box. I need to look it up now, but that's how I first came to know him. And then just covering derbies, I worked in the Lexington market, John in Louisville, and so we'd be on the backside of Derby Week every year. So fast forward about 10 years after that initial connection, and in 91, we were both all over Best Pal and Strike the Gold. We were just couldn't separate those two. One of those two was going to win the Derby. And I think John ultimately settled on Strike the Gold, and I went for Best Pal, but we both crushed the Exacta. And there was one other horse that we liked in the training that week, and we talked, and it was the same horse we were on as a long shot, 70-1, Main Minister. And so I bet something to show on him, but you couldn't bet a trifecta at Churchill Downs at that time. And then I get a call on Sunday telling me that did I see the what the trifecta paid at River Downs, about an hour and a half away in Cincinnati. It was $13,000, and it was the two horses we liked with our long shot in third. So that's one good memory. And about 2 years after that, our wives were both due to deliver during Derby week, and we didn't have cell. We had cell phones existed then, but I don't think we had them. So we had pagers, and so we were both on call, you know, every morning as we're doing the Derby backside and the Derby week, we're on call to see if it's going to happen. And it ultimately happened for both of our wives the next week. And so I think it's John's middle daughter and my oldest are, you know, born at roughly the same time. So that was always a connection that we had too.
Well, when it came to basketball, there had to be a little bit of some loggerheads on occasion.
Yeah, big Hilltoppers fan, John. But a funny story, I was telling somebody earlier today on the WHAS, where he worked for a long time there in Louisville. This is actually a football story. In, I think it was 2012, maybe, Kentucky was going to host Western Kentucky. And John was convinced Western was going to upset Kentucky, which he had told me more than one occasion that summer. And I hadn't talked to him during game week, but I ride down the elevator after the game. Western has won in overtime, dramatic victory. Western has won the game. I get off the elevator going to go do the post game shows, and the very first person I see with a smile on as wide as you can have on your face was John Asher. And it turns out his daughter had a volleyball game that night. And after the volleyball game, he was listening to the broadcast and hearing how well Western was doing. And he jumped in the car, and he had arrived as the game ended because he just wanted to be there to see his beloved Hilltoppers get the win that he knew they were going to get. So that was his arrival at the stadium, was as the game had ended. And he was there for the celebration with the Topper fans. And so that's another lasting memory for me with John on our Kentucky Wildcat, Western Kentucky Hilltopper spectrum.
I love that. I didn't obviously, other than hearing him and being a guest a couple of times on the show that he and Darren did, I haven't had the chance to hear him, his broadcasting, but I can only imagine, and knowing what an eclectic interests that he enjoyed, you know, musically, and you know, he had such a curious mind in general. His broadcasting, knowing that, you know, he piled up awards, it must have just been, you know, just exceptional.
Oh, just a superb broadcaster, and first person that I think that I knew in media, other than maybe Kaywood Ledford, that won an Eclipse Award. And he won in 88. I think it was called The Cup Comes Home when they had the Breeders' Cup at Churchill Downs for the first time. Personal Ensign's Year and Ali Sheba and the Classic and all of that. And he did a program for the station that he worked at in Louisville at the time on The Cup Comes Home, and won the Eclipse. And I think it was the first of, I want to say it was five Eclipse Awards that he won. And had he not left radio to go to work for Churchill Downs, he'd have won more.
Yeah, the Media Eclipse Award that, we'll have, you mentioned that Cup Comes Home, and I'm thinking about the category. I got to look that up. There's a name, there's a different, it was called something
integrated
different
media
at the time.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
That incorporates social media stuff. Yeah, it's not radio anymore.
Well, Tom, like so many, just the void that this creates is enormous. And you know, this Breeders' Cup season, I'll discuss this with Jim Gluckson, it'll be maybe it's good that the Breeders' Cup is there, and it'll prepare us and make it, I don't know how much easier it could make it, but you know, the Derby lead up just won't be the same, and
it's just going to feel really awkward for maybe forever for us. So yeah, I know what you mean. It's an honor to thank you for calling. Honor to get to tell stories and I told a friend of John's yesterday, it's like we'll celebrate his life, but we got to cry some first.
Agreed. Tom Leach, voice of the Wildcats, and another joining the just the parade of those that will feel an absence with John Asher gone. Let's take a break here. When we come back, Jill Byrne, who, of course, worked alongside John at Churchill and looked to him as a mentor. Jill herself, actually, part of Breeders' Cup these days. And we'll get her thoughts next as we remember John Asher.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Join us at Presque Isle Downs for our two biggest days of racing. Sunday, September 16th, the $200,000 Presque Isle Mile. Monday, September 17th, the Grade 2 $400,000 Presque Isle Masters. North America's top filly and mare sprinters compete in the Premier Breeders' Cup Prep Race. Free Presque Isle Masters hats for the first 1,000 fans. Free t-shirts each night for the first 500 fans. September 16th and 17th, Presque Isle Downs, Erie, Pennsylvania. For more, go to PresqueIsleDowns.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BridgeNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BridgeNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BridgeNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and it's available at BridgeNet.com/APR. The BridgeNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BridgeNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BridgeNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Drinking in the morning sun, blinking in the morning sun, shaking off the heavy walls.
Back at the races. Well, we have spent the morning appreciating John Asher, and certainly this kind of a series of visits wouldn't be complete without Jill Byrne, who worked alongside John. And Jill, like everyone, just express my sadness and know how much John meant to you.
Oh, you know, I mean, it's just devastating. Absolutely, you know, heartbroken to lose John. You know, it's just such an amazing, special person in my life, my family's life. You know, everybody in horse racing and outside of horse racing. I mean, that's what a lot of people, you know, and we all know him from horse racing. But I mean, his involvement in, you know, community and just so many things. He just gave, you know, everything of himself back to the community, to Western Kentucky, his family, you know, my thoughts and prayers with all of them at this time. And, you know, it's just a extremely tough loss for all of us, but trying very hard to turn it around with all the amazing memories I've had, you know, with John over 20 years working alongside him, and more as absolute dearest friend, mentor. You know, I always tell people I was fortunate to go to the University of John Asher for 20 years, and I don't think anybody could get a better education than that.
Talk to that and your, you know, your initial introduction and of course your tenure at Churchill.
Yeah, you know, I think originally meeting him, I don't even remember the first time I met him, but I know kind of getting close to him in 97 before he actually, you know, came on board at Churchill Downs full time, when we had Favorite Trick and Countess Diana that year and kind of going around, you know, with those horses, and he was following them obviously very closely and their success. So that was kind of my main introduction to him in racing. And then 98 when he started at Churchill, and that was Breeders' Cup of 98, and again, you know, we had Awesome Again, probably one of the best Breeders' Cup classics ever, and I'll never forget, and John would tell this story countless times. I was watching the race in the horseman's lounge, excuse me, with John and some of my family, and as they started to come down the stretch, I had my program rolled up, and I just started hitting John over the head and the shoulder and everywhere else with my program as I cheered Awesome Again down the stretch, and ran out the door through the paddock, and John was following me, and he said he's never seen a human being do a vertical leap from a standstill as high as I did that day, and probably jumped over his shoulders. And he used to tell that story with such such enthusiasm and, you know, so proud of that moment, along with many others, but that was one that I'll always remember. And then, you know, John and I worked together at Churchill on the simulcast on the Paddock Show, Churchill Downs Today Show. We co-hosted together, you know, the Paddock Show together. We did countless video content for the websites, for Road to the Derby, for Churchill Downs. And, you know, I pretty much took up residency in his office practically every day I was there. It would always be, you know, time to go visit John. And he was a great friend to everybody and, you know, always had an ear to listen. He used to call himself Johnny the Bartender is here if you need to talk. And we'd just, you know, go sit in his office and talk about anything. But, you know, just the education I got from him on horse racing, his encyclopedia of horse racing. And, you know, not only would he give you an answer to a question, but he would tell a story that went along with that answer and make you have even a better appreciation for, you know, everything in horse racing. You know, he just, there's not another person I can think of in the world like him. And, you know, he will be terribly missed.
That's a very apt, and I hadn't heard that, Johnny the Bartender. But it is, yeah. It's appropriate because he would, no matter how busy he was, Jill, one of the things that I can think of that the various places that I personally would broadcast from over the years at Churchill, going back to 2006, and he would he would come, he would seek you out, seek me out, and come, and no matter, you know, what was happening, and that included tremendous pressures on his time, he would come and sit, and he wouldn't answer his phone while he was talking to you. If somebody came, he would wave them off until, you know, you had really either bent his ear or had answered his really sincere inquiries about, you know, how you were doing and how you were feeling and whatever thoughts, even if they were just, you know, about, you know, what horses looked best. But he was also very conscious of what was going on in anybody's life. He seemed to know what I was doing with the show at any time, and whenever he would have a point of reference, Jill. I mean, that always amazed me. You know, he would say,
yes,
you know, I loved what you did with, you know, that with the conversation with Steve Asmussen or whatever it was. I mean, it was obvious that he was listening, or that at least had figured out what you were doing in advance of seeing you. I mean, that's a rare quality.
He was completely invested in people and in, you know, the stories of horse racing. But as you mentioned, you know, genuinely interested and invested in what you were doing and how you were doing and, you know, what was interesting at the time. You know, let's talk about horses. I mean, just anything. And so, you know, honest and positive and just an incredible storyteller. I mean, I would never get tired of listening to, you know, him talk about stories of anything from horse racing to music to, you know, family and everything. He's such a well-rounded person in his knowledge, and not just horse racing, but of course that was one of his biggest passions. And, you know, it's funny, I mean, everybody always associates him, obviously, with the Derby, because, you know, John was the Kentucky Derby and Churchill Downs. But I don't know if a lot of people know, I mean, obviously loved the Kentucky Derby, but his favorite race at Churchill Downs was the Clark Handicap. And he would tell you a lot of history about the Clark, and he always would say that was his favorite horse race at Churchill Downs, the Clark Handicap. And I remember he would be very angry if he thought that it was going to be downgraded from a grade one because of the importance of that race. And it was, you know, as old as the Derby. But I mean, I cannot begin to express the knowledge I gained from all of my 20 years of association with John. And I looked up to him in broadcast. He taught me so much about broadcast and, you know, how you articulate on camera, just by watching and listening to him. And it was so funny. We'd have a show to start live, a live TV show. John wouldn't be there. We'd all be waiting. And it'd be about a minute until airtime, and everybody's panicking. Where's John? Where's John? Like, he'll be here. He would come shuffling in, sit down, put the microphone on, about 15 seconds to live air. He'd look up at the camera and say, okay, guys, you ready? Let's go. And, like, I told you he'd be here, totally prepared, ready to go. You know, he just, but as you mentioned, he gave so much of his time to so much of the industry, and around Derby time especially, where everybody wanted John to speak at their event, to attend their event, to, you know, handicap for them, and just, you'd never get tired of listening to him. So countless times he would double book himself on events by always saying yes to everybody. He never turned anybody down. So he would invariably, I could hear him come shuffling down the hall to my office. Before he even got to my office, I'd go, Mr. Asher. He'd come around the corner and say, hey, kiddo, got a favor. And you can say no, it's okay. I'm like, what do you need, John? I said, well, I have two events I'm supposed to do tonight. Could you possibly fill in for me at this one? And I would always, of course, say, absolutely, of course, John, anything for you. And his reaction and comment to that, as he did to so many people, is he would say, you are the greatest human being in the world, and I owe you. And as I said countless times yesterday to people, my words to John now are, no, John, you're the greatest human being in the world, and I owe you so much of, you know, what I've learned, and just his friendship was something that cannot be replaced. I'm actually listening to Bruce Springsteen right now, and I hardly ever listen to Bruce Springsteen, but it was one of John's absolute favorites, and you know, such a musical aficionado, so just kind of listening to a playlist right now for my friend.
Oh. Jill Byrne, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for, you know, honoring somebody who just means so much to so many people, and just, you know, God bless his family, and prayers and thoughts to everyone who was lucky to have him in their lives.
Beautifully put. Jill Byrne, everybody. And he's just one of the people that, you know, that just, again, all over the community and for decades in all his endeavors. Bottom of the hour, as we pay tribute to John Asher, and Jim Gluckson is going to join us from Breeders' Cup. And certainly, you know, certainly Jimmy can appreciate, one of those people that can appreciate, you know, John as a broadcast professional. And from the days where, you know, he was covering Breeders' Cup, and then the interactions that came once John joined Churchill Downs. Jim Gluckson next at the races, remembering John Asher.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
Are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent the Sermon Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade One race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky, or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Lisa likes brandy and the way it hits her lips. She's a rock and roll survivor with pendulum hips. She's got deep brown eyes that have seen it all.
Working at a nightclub that was called the Avenue.
We're back at the races and just coming back here at the bottom of hour three after Jill Byrne joins us. And, of course, Jill now working with Breeders' Cup. And Jim Gluckson has been with Breeders' Cup from day one. And that means that he had the unique opportunity to interact with John Asher when John was working on the coverage side, and then once he came to Churchill, interacting and participating in all the cups that have gone on since then, since 1997. And again, one of the people who needed to visit today to talk about a multiple decade-long relationship with John Asher. Jim, thanks for adding your voice.
Steve, thanks for having me today. Everybody just feels so gutted. That's the feeling the last 36 hours that people I've talked to and expressed condolences and praise and memories on social media. I think many, as you've had many guests talk about him, the effusive praise for John and what a warm-hearted person that he was and what a professional that he was made him a special individual.
One of the things that has been really special is to hear about the days before he took on the role that, you know, is so familiar and will be so difficult to, you know, to go forward without him. But when Breeders' Cup, go back to the origins, Jim, and your first encounters with John, because it had to be in a media role as he was covering the event.
John was a terrific broadcast journalist in a day where he chased stories for radio. He was not just a commentator with a show and call-ins. He would go out, talk to people, and make great stories, and he would edit these stories on these great trainers, owners, jockeys, for HAS especially, where he really did his lion's share of his great work. And that was his hallmark in one career. It's like Babe Ruth. He had one career as a journalist, and then made the transition to be a publicist, in essence, working for a track. And he had to transition to that, where you are on the home team, so to speak. Yet he continued from there to still utilize his skills and tell great stories when he came over to Churchill. And he was, but prior to that, obviously, he was a multi-time award winner. And he was just very proficient in his craft, especially in an era where AM radio was still quite viable. And he was quite proficient, and he was great to his audience when he would tell these stories. I think that's one of the things we recall about John, is not recalled as much, is that he is a great historian, but he was also a great storyteller of horses participating in our game in the present state.
In that capacity, as it happens, and I was looking for the specifics. He, in fact, won 5 Eclipse Awards in 7 years.
And, dominated, yeah.
Just, yeah, that's an unbelievable run. That's Woody Stevens-esque.
Yes, and he had the thing, there are many great things to remember, but the voice was everything. I mean, it was just, it was melodious. I think that's the word I used to describe him. And it was very soothing, and he could, you know, if it was an earthquake at Churchill Downs, he would say, everything's going to be okay, we're going to run the Derby, and no problem. He had that way about him where he could deliver words of confidence and poise and knowledge, and it made you feel good. It was like sometimes it felt like he was your uncle talking to you at a family gathering, and he would regale you with these stories, and he would really bring to life the Kentucky Derby. I mean, he was the heart and soul of the Kentucky Derby. And we waited patiently for him to tell the story each year. I would say the way people follow the Masters and the lore of that event is very similar to the Derby, which is, you know, considerable event in not just obviously in racing as America's race, but as one of the great sporting events in this country for more than a century and a half. And he delivered that those words, especially if you were fortunate enough to be in the post race press conference for the Derby, when he would talk to the connections, get a great deal of insight out of them, and then bring the history of the race over its many years back to all of us. I think there was this a genuine feeling of respect and happiness when John would make his announcements and his speeches and his words and remarks for all these events, but especially around the Derby.
Transition, Jim, the relationship and your involvement and Breeders' Cup, the difference that going back to Churchill, the off years that, you know, obviously the Derby dominates, but when the Breeders' Cup would come to town and it, you know, Churchill in many ways, maybe the most ideal venue that could accommodate, that was most used to having, you know, the biggest crowds. And you know, there's been, you know, a long history of Churchill having, you know, the most well-attended Breeders' Cups. And coming to town and having the responsibility you do, I mean, whether it was the days of when Tony Terry was running the media office, or of course now, you know, for many years Darren, having John there as well, you know, you had a machine that was so used to, you know, the obligations and the crush of media demands.
I would agree with all of that. I think it's a very important part of the history of the event. With John, when he was still working over on the radio side, we did not get there until 1988. There had to be a turf course built that year at Churchill Downs, which just opened that spring. And interestingly enough, Churchill Downs was supposed to get the 87 event, but the powers that be had decided, like, we need another year in California to kind of build TV ratings and put some weather guarantees in, because the 85 event had been in at Aqueduct and there was risky weather that day, where things turned out all right. But the decision was made to run 86 in California at Santa Anita and 87 to return to Hollywood Park, where it was run, and the inaugural running was in 84. So by the time we got there in 88, people were very excited to conduct it there. And I remember in talking with John, he said, we need more great racing here, not just at the spring, but to expose this city for racing again in the fall. And of course, we wound up with perhaps the most miserable day weather-wise in 88, but perhaps the best day of racing, arguably, that we ever had. To go through that, in just a few of them, obviously, you had a tremendous race in the distaff with Personal Ensign catching winning colors, hopelessly beaten Personal Ensign winning that race. Men and women crying in the press box after they saw that. I'll never forget that. And you had Miesque winning the mile, again beating Males for the second time in a row. You also had a tremendous Midnight Classic. We can laugh at it now. It wasn't funny at the time, where you had Ali Sheba passing Seeking the Gold to win the Breeders' Cup Classic. And something else in there, which was a sort of a telltale sign, Easy Goer was a huge favorite in the juvenile, but of course the track came up muddy, very muddy, and he was beaten by a Lucas colt named Is It True. It was an upset there, but even though Easy Goer won the championship, it was still a foreshadowing of things to come, as you saw the following year, where he did not like the track against Sunday Silence in the 1989 Kentucky Derby. But I remember that Breeders' Cup very well for those things. And John had often said that was one of the great days of racing ever at Churchill Downs. And we would talk about that. and then we returned. Obviously, we came back for other times with Arazi, which was a tremendous international moment where an overseas horse came in and won that juvenile. That's still talked about as one of the great events in 91. And then, you know, moving forward over the years with horses like Concern in the Classic in 94, and then that incredible 98 Classic with an amazing field and Awesome Again winning that race in there. So moving into that, and then moving into the new decade, we had great racing in all the way up to 2006. A horse named Ouija Board, we don't much remember now, a two-time winner of the Philly Amérique Turf, among others, and in Vasseur. And it can go on and on with that. But those were big crowds, and the weather mostly cooperated after 88 at Churchill. And let's say John's writing his voluminous notes that he would write, his attention to detail with that, and his very long hours that he worked. He was in front of that typewriter a long time, and in front of the laptop years later, a long time, and he would drive himself incessantly to do a great job. One other thing that he did for those of us in industry by himself is he would aggregate articles about horse racing each day and send out links to everyone to stories that were happening around the industry. And he was a great resource for us in the embryonic days of the internet and pulling that together. And eventually it got to be too much and he had to stop. But I remember about that also about him, is he was very helpful to all of us who worked in the industry, especially the publicists who work, those of us that work behind the lines in this business.
There's been that period you had the back-to-back years that, when there was that group of Breeders' Cups that were spending multiple years, it goes back, what, 10-11 or 11-12?
Well, of course, yeah, I left out the biggest one, the Zenyatta year. Oh, that was an extraordinary. It was 2011. We were there in 2010 and came back in 2011, but 2010 with Zenyatta was an extraordinary experience. To have her come, I mean, I remember the mornings when she came out on the track. It was like this hushed silence, like we were seeing Gandhi, for God's sakes, coming out for the morning work, the 2 days of exercise before the race. It was extraordinary in the build up to that event. We were back to back there in 10 and 11 for the Drosselmeyer the following year. And I think that was, if I get my history right, I think it was Golda Kova's fourth attempt, and she did not get it. Was that? I think that was that in 2011.
That sounds right.
Yeah, but that is another, another one that that we had there, and it's terrific to remember all this and to get excited. I also think I would like to comment on something you said earlier about Churchill. We have a lot of great facilities, but it's nice to come to the middle of the country in the midst of the tracks that are selected, sort of like neutral ground here. And I think the other thing that the Breeders' Cup has brought is that a lot of times, a lot of trainers and owners may never get to race in the Derby, but they will get to race at Churchill Downs, and it is a special place to a lot of people growing up when just kids, 7, 8, 9-year-olds watching the Kentucky Derby saying, well, one day I got the Churchill Downs, I want to race here, want a grade one, a Breeders' Cup race. That's a special thrill.
I can remember John being part of that press conference upstairs in one of the dining rooms, Jim, after the morning after Street Sense won the juvenile.
That's right. That was a Sunday morning breakfast that he used to do each year. That's correct. And he would host that for us. And that was good luck because he broke the juvenile jinx.
Yes, he did. And he foreshadowed that, in fact. He was the one, because that, in a lot of ways, Calvin Burrell, I certainly could have reached out to Jerry Hissom. That was... in a lot of ways, the introduction of what was going to become an amazing story, the Calvin Burrell run on the Derby. And that was the introduction when John asked Carl Nafsker about Calvin Burrell's involvement, and Carl explained that he reached out knowing that this was a talented colt, and he really explained how he wanted Calvin involved because he knew he needed to, you know, to hear about the, you know, the way the Street Sense was developing. And that was my first introduction to, you know, to Calvin Burrell, and I remember that morning really vividly. And you know, John was his natural, you know, journalistic reaches, you know, he knew where stories lied and where to go and with the Q's and A's, and it made for, you know, terrific dialogue.
I would agree with that. He knew his stuff and he knew those trainers, and that's the other thing that was remarkable about him and many people like yourself, is that you go in and you talk to the trainers. It's just, and you meet them and get to know them, and they feel comfortable with you, because if you know your stuff and you don't waste their time, they're gonna give you a little bit more of themselves. And you really respected Carl Nafsker a great deal, all the way back to through Unbridled. So I think that was as a natural for him. And you talk about Calvin Burrell. I mean, from that point forward, you blink of an eye, and he's in the Hall of Fame.
Exactly. Exactly. It started there. Well, it's going to be, and Jimmy, you can appreciate this, and you certainly have, you know that, and have gone through any number of moments or, you know, individuals that aren't, you know, part of our landscape. This will be so just unusual, because you'll be waiting. Everybody will be waiting for John to come around the corner, or to hear the voice before he comes around the corner.
Right. You will. There'll just be that missing presence. I think that, if I can make another analogy, I thought about this last night, to the people who worked in the news business. It was like the shock when Tim Russert suddenly died, and he was such a part of Meet the Press in that world, and you know, he had galvanized that role on Sunday mornings, and John was the galvanizing figure of Churchill and of the Kentucky Derby, and it's such a tremendous void to fill. It probably never will be filled, and I just think that this is these are hard times where you try to remember the good times and what he contributed in his short time with us. So I'm just, I've been babbling the last 2 days, the last 24 hours about, you know, about this. And it's just, it was really hard to sleep last night. It just didn't, it was just such a shock and a great loss. And it's wonderful you're having a show today to remember him and the great things for those people who didn't get to know John very well. He was like your best friend that you didn't see for a long time, but when you met him, you just felt like you picked it right up. He was a wonderful person.
Exactly, exactly. Jimmy Gluckson, thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve.
Jim Gluckson, everybody. Let's take a break, our last of the morning, and pull together a way to say goodbye on this Tuesday. It's a dark Tuesday at Saratoga. The last dark Tuesday. It's a dark Tuesday at Churchill Downs and in Louisville. John Asher. Back to say goodbye after this.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Thoroughbred Breeding Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit DRF.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Welcome to Color Life. My name is Blue, and I'm a color lovely lady. Who are you? I don't do bars. The oxygen is missing, but I don't need to fit in. I just do what I do.
Closing time. One last call for alcohol. So finish your whiskey or beer. Closing time.
We're back at the races, just a couple of minutes to close out, and it just is so appreciative, the people that were available, and there's others that we certainly would have been delighted to include. Tried to reach out to those that fit the bill, and certainly a individual that touched countless lives, and I hope that the voices that we brought you that were representative and hit the appropriate arenas, the community in Kentucky at large, and the racetrack and the backside and really everything that John Asher loved. There's no limit to to those that will be missing him and who will appreciate forever what he either did for them or how he may have contributed to their their careers, their enjoyment of the game, his influence, obviously, on the Derby and on the legacy of the Downs that will be felt forever, just forever. They famously, about Matt Wynn, it was said he'd seen them all from the time he was a child. He saw the first Kentucky Derby. He saw the first 75 Derbies. And I guess there was a little bit of a gap between Matt Wynn and John Asher, but John saw the next saw at least a certain percentage from that point on, from the time that Matt Wynn left the stage. It'll be very hard to go to Churchill this fall and not see John Asher, but his presence will always be felt in our lives and in our hearts. I want to thank Darren Rogers, of course, and Billy Reed and Dale Romans and Richard Klein and Shug, Nick Zito, Jeremy Plonk, Tom Leach, Jim Gluckson, and Jill Byrne. And I'm sure there'll be an appropriate charity we can all contribute to, a racetrack one, and one. I know the juvenile diabetes was a cause that John looked after and took an interest. Well, what John would want most is for us to enjoy the racing that is coming, and things resume tomorrow. Saratoga, the last week at Del Mar in the offing as well. Here at Saratoga, we'll have two-day carryover, 200,000 plus, and a very tough card. Sid Fernando will be with us. We'll talk about the Travers result and start to look toward next week and the Keeneland sale and so much, much more. Want to thank everybody. Casey with a fabulous job, too. It's always hard on days like this to pull it all together. If you missed anything, stevebick.com or replay tomorrow, Sirius XM. I'll talk to you in the morning.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get five full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for five of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.